I could walk through the driest desert. I could sail through the open waters just to see your love has no bounds. Just to see your love has no bounds. Sing hallelujah, he's with us. Emmanuel is here. Oh, hallelujah, he's with us. Come and let his love draw you in. Oh, let his love come on in.
Every year, I prepare a special Christmas teaching for our churches to listen to. The past 4 years, I focused on the weeks of Advent. We've journeyed now through hope, peace, joy, and last year, love. And this year, we now turn to the last candle, what's called the Christ candle, the point to which all the other candles have been leading us toward. Traditionally, the Christ candle is lit on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning to celebrate the one that we've all been adventing toward, the one we've been longing to come and indeed has come. And so for 2013 Christmas podcast, we think now about Christ. And I pray that as we do so, that he becomes large within us and that our affections toward him deepen as we listen to this together. So in 1991, I was 16 years old. That summer, our youth group traveled to a youth gathering in Washington, D.C. called DC 91, sponsored by a ministry called Youth for Christ. Over 20,000 students from all over North America descended on Washington for a week of worshiping and teaching. It was a hugely informative experience for me. In fact, it was there in the middle of the night, awake in my bed with everyone else around me sleeping, that I sensed Jesus asking me to set aside my life for him. The road to me being a pastor, in other words, began as a 16-year-old boy in Washington, D.C. Although even as I say that, I'm sure that those that prayed for me along the way would say it actually began earlier than that. By now, much of the week is a blur, and I certainly don't recall anything that any of the preachers talked about except for one. The theme for the week was built around John 3:16, this familiar verse, "Because God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." And each night, the various speakers were given a portion of that verse that they were to teach us on. As I say, I don't recall much of anything that anyone said except for one. The first speaker, I do remember. He was given the portion of the passage that said simply, "Because God." That's all. Just two words. He spoke to us for 25 minutes, and this was his theme: "Because God." Now, what he said about the phrase, I don't recall, but I do recall over and over him saying, "Because God, because God, because God, because God." I'll never forget it. And every time I hear John 3:16, I think of that moment, "Because God." This, it seems to me, is a fitting expression for a Christmas meditation. Why do we celebrate Christmas or Advent? Because God. We celebrate Advent because God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. Which means, more specifically, we celebrate Christmas then because Jesus. Because God, because Jesus. This is why we celebrate Advent, because Jesus. Because of the coming of Jesus who was sent to us because of God and because of his great love for us. Which then is exactly what the fifth candle is there to remind us of. Every week we light a candle journeying toward Christmas, but it's the fifth candle that is clearly the high point. As we light the candle, usually white and usually in the center of the Advent wreath to symbolize its uniqueness, we remind ourselves, this is why we celebrate Christmas. He is why we celebrate. We celebrate because Jesus. We celebrate even more than hope and joy and peace and love. We celebrate because of him. The family, the carols, the food, the gifts, the lighting of the Advent wreaths, all of these things are important. They are how we celebrate, but they are not why we celebrate. Why we celebrate is because Jesus. Just yesterday, our neighbor celebrated his 5th birthday. He's a beauty of a boy. Cake, presents, games, all the essential elements were there for a party. But they wouldn't have been there without the star attraction. No, the parents and the children, they celebrated and they feasted because of the boy. And the same is with Advent and Christmas. We celebrate because Jesus. It reminds me of the Rob DeCotes quote that we reflected on this year's retreat. Those of you that were there, you may recall that Rob wrote these words. He said, "We find ourselves as Christians swept up in a song of ascents, led by the sheer guidance of this very Spirit of God. And we discover that the final destination of our pilgrimage is much more than a place. It's a person." And this is true of life, and it's true of Advent. On this journey, we find that the final destination, much more than anything else, is a person. It's Jesus. He is the center, the destination, the high point, the culmination of all things. Of Advent, yes, but more, of our whole lives, and for that matter, of all of creation. Everything is being caught up into Him. Everything is journeying up to Him and to His great love. Paul told the Church of Romans, he said, "For from Him, and through Him, and for Him are all things." All things. It means just what it says. All things are from and for and through and to Him. All things are because Jesus. Why do we celebrate Advent? Because Jesus. Why do we pilgrim in life? Because Jesus. He is the destination of all things, as all things are being gathered up into Him. Because Jesus. Now, for a few moments as we close here, allow me then just to take this in a further direction and develop this just a little bit further. Because I've been thinking, and I hinted at this earlier on, that it's also because Jesus that then the other weeks of Advent find their place and they make sense. Without Jesus, the Christ candle, what would hope and joy and peace and love be? But with Jesus and because Jesus, they all have their meaning. They all make sense. They're all being gathered up into Him too. In other words, we understand, we make sense of hope and joy and peace and love. Also, because Jesus. Last week, Jolie sent out a Facebook note. She asked the question, "What is the opposite of hope?" And people replied with all of their interesting ideas. And then she responded with this. "Hope, I've been thinking. Cynicism feels like it's the opposite of hope. But by definition, despair is the loss of hope. It's a complete loss of confidence." And then she goes on to add this. "The thing is, I don't feel that hope is a flaky or shaky thing. Most likely because I think that Jesus Himself defines hope. Hope, to me, is a person. And this person has a good record of keeping His promises." Well said. Hope isn't a nebulous feeling that we somehow conjure up to somehow make us feel better in times of despair. Hope is actually a person. It is the person of Jesus. He is hope, and it's because of Jesus that we have hope. Because of Him, because of who He is, because of His authority, His love, His power, His plan, His assurance that He is bringing all things together under Him, because Jesus, we have hope, confidence that we will be okay in life and in death. And this is true of the other candles of Advent as well. Because of Jesus, we also have joy. Because Jesus is also joy. His very person is joy. And in Him, our hearts find delight. They find their home and they find their reason to rejoice. When we look at Him and see Him, we discover that He is so good and so lovely, so benevolent, so kind, so filled with mercy and grace. His very presence, His very person is joy. So how could we then not rejoice when we find ourselves in Him? But it's not just hope and joy. Because of Jesus, then we also have peace. But we need to be careful with this word. Peace in the scriptures is not primarily a feeling of euphoria or inner quiet or inner calm, though it can mean that. But more rightly, peace in scripture is actually the absence of brokenness, and specifically the absence of relational brokenness. Peace is things being right then between one another, and between us and creation, and between us and ourselves, and between us and God. And in Jesus, this peace is found. He is the Prince of Peace, and he came to reconcile. He came as a reconciler to make the broken two, the shattered, whole again in our creation. Which is why Paul then could say to this church that was fighting and divided in the town called Galatia, he wrote to them and said, "In Christ, there is now, therefore, no Jew or no Greek, no slave nor free, nor male nor female." Those warring factions now are finding their unity, finding their wholeness in their common, lavish experience of Jesus. Because Jesus is peace. He is perfectly united. He is perfectly at peace with him and with the world, with the creation and with the Father. And as we then live in him and are caught up in him, we are invited then to share and to live out and to live in this peace. And finally, because of Jesus, we have love. John said that God is love. The very essence of Jesus, the Son of God, then, is love, a great ocean of love. My favorite hymn, The Love of God, says these profound words in its last verse. It says this: "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, and nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." And again, as we find ourselves in him, we find ourselves then caught up in this ocean. And even I say, for those that deny the ocean is still there. Because Jesus, we have love, deep, never-ending, always abiding, always consistent love. So why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate Advent? Because Jesus. Because Jesus. Because Jesus. Because Jesus. And in Jesus, we find everything else. Hope, joy, peace, and love. They are all found in him, and in him, they are all ours. Merry Christmas, everyone.